What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Astronauts Podcast. Took a little bit of a break to get to the Senior Bowl, and I'm going to bring on one of my great friends from Twitter. We got to meet down in Mobile for the first time ever. It was awesome getting to spend a couple of days with him while, you know, my daughter takes over my life as well as his with some stickers. This is Derek Brown from Fantasy Pros. How you doing, man?
Doing good, Harms. It was a good time down in Mobile. Avery stole the show. I think she was honestly one of the best scouts down there. So I have no shade. I can't take anything away from your extremely talented and wonderful daughter, who, by the way, dude, trying to live dad life, I mean, you get all the props in the world from me, because I don't know if I would have driven 13 hours with my youngest daughter just to go to Senior Bowl. And trying to have that kind of balancing act while you're trying to, like, half work, half be a dad, it's challenging, man. So definitely kudos to you. And, you know, you got my respect and props for doing all of it, man. She's also an amazing little kid.
Thank you. And that's probably my biggest takeaway, even though I was there for the Senior Bowl. Like, getting to do that, experience that, and bring my daughter with me was, and honestly, the outpouring of support I've heard from people talking about, you know, me bringing my daughter and seeing how we are together, how good she was until we got back, you know, everything. It was awesome. So I appreciate you very much for that. If you guys don't, you probably should follow him on Twitter. Like, this is things that we all need to be doing. He's got a connection to Brian Hartline. Like, all these things are full flowing right now. You can follow him on Twitter at @dbro_ffb. This guy, man, just do it. Promise you're not going to regret it. Conversations are just the best. And that's what we're here for. We're here to have a conversation, because we spent the week at the Senior Bowl. And I think we'll start off with a little bit of the quarterbacks, just because we can get them out of the way. This is very simple. Exactly. A very simple discussion to be had about the quarterbacks. These are all backups. They're all backups. There is not one starter among them at all. I think we both have the same takeaway. There was one guy that played better than everybody else in Jake Haener from Fresno State. How did he look to you at the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, so I think we're walking away with the same takeaway on this one, Harms. Hendon Hooker was the best quarterback down there, and he Absolutely. Didn't even take a freaking snap. So, you know, take that for what you will, but it is the truth. For everybody's talk about, you know, whether we're framing this from an NFL perspective or a fantasy perspective, mm-hmm. however you want to talk about this. I mean, yes, you hit the nail on the head. All these guys are going to be backups. None of these guys you're looking at, like, even Hendon Hooker probably doesn't go before like round four,
yeah.
you know, in the NFL draft. Maybe he goes round three. I doubt that, but we'll see. Jake Haener, the best you're hoping for him. And he was the best guy down there by a lot.
By a good margin.
By a lot. I mean, the best thing you're hoping for him is he pulls a Bailey Zappe. He goes in round four this year. Past that, I think that, you know, he's looking at probably, you know, day three capital, somewhere in the middle of that, maybe round five. And the rest of these guys are round six and UDFA type of material. I think that Jake Haener was the best guy down there. But again, like, he didn't wow me a ton. No. Like, it was just that he was the best guy that was, like, he was the most efficient. He was the quickest through his progressions. He was the most accurate, and none of these guys were consistent, but you have to pick one of them. He was the most consistent out of like a bad bunch, and we're really lowering the bar here. But I think the one thing that I will say, I'm not going to sit here and continue to just toss salt and shade at all these guys. Like, the one thing I was a little bit surprised by with Haener is his arm strength from a guy that on film is a max effort thrower. Like, you put it like 15, 20 yards down the field, and he's putting every bit of mustard that he has in the ball yeah. to get it down there, to fit it in tight windows, throw with anticipation, lead guys, and really hit them in stride. I saw more arm strength from Haener in Mobile than I saw on tape. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw him throw a nice go ball on the boundary, probably about 20, 25 yards down the field. I think it was day two. And I didn't, yep. it wasn't completed, but that wasn't his fault. It was a perfect ball. And there was multiple snaps where he also was throwing on the move, whether it was a boot to the right, he was scrambling left. But we saw some throws while he was on the run and unable to set his base. And I was surprised by the arm strength that he showed there. So if I am walking away with one kind of positive take on Jake Haner, it's the arm strength was better than what I saw on film. So that was nice to see.
Yeah, I remember sitting in the stands and we're like, who threw that football? When you do that, that's usually a good thing. It's like you don't expect it to happen. I think we all know that Max Duggan can throw the ball down the field, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not like perfect, but when you're watching these quarterbacks and you're trying to watch the receivers, the running backs, from my perspective, everybody that you can get an eye on, the offensive line, defensive line, all that during team drills, and you're like, okay, who threw that? That's good, because Haner had a couple of those moments on day two, a couple on day three as well, where you're just like, okay, that's a nice deep ball. That's what you're looking for to get out there and showcase, and he did the best of that. I wish Malik Cunningham would have opened up what he wanted to do and not just stick at quarterback. Because this is – I know everyone's going to say, well, if he wants to be a quarterback, he can be a quarterback. This isn't Lamar Jackson.
No.
Lamar Jackson's very, very different. And obviously you had people asking him, well, can you be a wide receiver? No. Lamar Jackson's proven now time and time and time again that he was and should have always been a quarterback.
Yep.
Malik Cunningham is not. He's not a quarterback in the NFL. He's never going to be a quarterback in the NFL. Do what – it's hard for me to watch a guy who is so gifted as a mover. Because he is. He's an extremely gifted mover with the football in his hands. And just get out there, show what you can do as a running back. You're not going to be like a huge running back. You're 5'11", 188. But show a little bit of what you can do with the ball in your hands. I wish we could have seen that. It would have been nice to see what he, you know, what Denard Robinson did at the Senior Bowl when he came out. He was like, okay, I'll showcase wide receiver, showcase running back, be a weapon. I would have liked to see that from Malik, but I really would have also loved to see Hendon Hooker, because he would have blown these guys out of the water.
He would have helped himself, man. It was kind of sad that he wasn't able to do that because, you know, and we could talk about it for days about the Will Levis stuff. Like,
oh yeah,
you know, the entire buzz down there the entire week between agents and guys we were talking to also in the industry was that NFL teams were pissed that Will Levis didn't go. And that's, they can be pissed all they want to. If I was Will Levis and I was his agent, I'd have said, shit, no, I'm not going either. Like, he has nothing to gain out of that. Like, no, right now, he's in talk to be possibly the first overall pick in the NFL draft, top five. What's there to gain for Will Levis going to the Senior Bowl? And everybody's like, oh, well, he's going to show if he's really that good that he's the dude. Okay, that's great. So what does that do? It cements him in the top five? Whoop-de-doo. Yeah, right. Like, he was already in that talk anyway. The worst thing, like, all Will Levis had to do going to Mobile, it was just going to hurt him. Like, nine times out of ten, like, that type of outcome was going to hurt his draft stock more than help him, because he doesn't need any help.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a guy like Anthony Richardson that's being talked about anywhere from, like, the middle of the first round to maybe the second round. That's a guy who, if Levis was being talked about in that type of ilk, then yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. Go to the Senior Bowl. But that's not the conversation that's happening around Will Levis. So, no, I don't disagree. He should not have gone to the Senior Bowl. Like, he should not have done that. Because the only thing that was going to happen for Will Levis in that type of scenario was, if he did anything, he's going to lose draft stock. But one other guy I will want to bring up from the quarterback position real fast, Harms, is Tyson Bagent.
Yeah.
I think he showed enough. Like, unlike somebody like Malik Cunningham, does not have an NFL arm.
No.
Not to be mean, but Malik Cunningham looked like a damn eighth grader trying to throw a football on his film. He just does not have the arm, you know? So I think Malik Cunningham could carve out a decent career as even like a practice squad guy, just because, and hey, that's a good living, like a six-figure living being a practice squad quarterback. Like, you can run scout teams and stuff like that for your defense trying to prepare for other mobile quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad living to have. But with Tyson Bagent, he's a guy at a Shepherd. You know, we all know about all the D2 records that he broke. The thing that, without having much film, because I was only able to find like one game to watch on him prior to going there, is what I wanted to see that's going to give him the ability just to be on UDFA or like to get on an NFL roster, that I saw enough out of him to say that, yes, he deserves to be in the NFL, at least from a practice squad or developmental standpoint, because you see the tools are there. Like, he has an NFL arm. He has NFL arm strength. Now, is he erratic as hell? Yes. But a lot of that comes down to, and Harms, I wasn't like, I don't know if you were able to watch him prior to Senior Bowl or how much you were taken away from him there. But the biggest thing for Bajan for me was that I think he's still an unrefined prospect. Like, he's not anywhere close to being a final product. And a lot of that has to come down to, and I'm not going to crap on like Shepherd coaching and stuff like that. What they did when he accomplished was fantastic. Put him on the NFL radar. But you see his accuracy lapse. You see his footwork kind of come and go. And a lot of that happens with why you see like one throw where he's threading the needle, looks good, NFL caliber, and the other one where he's sailing guys. So I think that really, did he show enough to get into the NFL and land on a roster and continue to grow with NFL level coaching? Yes, I think he showed that. And for him, that has to be a win. And that's really all you can expect, because he was never a guy that was going to probably come out there and show that, okay, he deserves to be a round four, round five, a day three pick. I never put that in his range of outcomes, but I think he showed enough in Mobile for an NFL team to say, you know what, we're going to earmark you. Maybe we take you in round seven so we're not having to spend more, like, or make you a priority UDFA guy. And maybe that's how it goes. But I think he showed enough there.
Yeah, I think so. When you look at what he was able to do on the move too, I think for a 6'2", 213-pound quarterback, he was like the second biggest guy there, just under what Clayton Tune was. And he moved better outside the pocket, getting out and making things happen. Again, the arm strength was there. And when you're a guy coming out of Shepherd, again, you're just trying to get, like you said, put on the radar. I think he made himself at worst a seventh-round pick. At best a seventh-round pick, maybe a priority free agent. That's what you're looking for, to be a priority free agent, because you can get into a camp, show what you can do, and the tools, you know, other starting quarterbacks, veterans on the roster can help you refine the footwork and the accuracy problems you have. But you need to be able to see the tool problem. And if you have the tools, then you usually can get onto one of these practice squads and maybe refine some of that. And that was – it was nice to see, because I didn't know who he was going in. Honestly, I'll be very honest. I couldn't find anything on him. I couldn't do it. I also had a lot of other stuff I was watching. So – and getting there and getting to see him move in person, that's for a guy who's as big as he is. It's nice to see the movement skills, getting outside the pocket and not losing your arm strength because you're trying to do something else. And that was
like, you might see an NFL team take a shot on him over taking a shot on Clayton Tune or Max Duggan, like, because he's a Pandora's box. Like, we don't know how good he can be, but you've seen these other guys at various levels of competition. I'm not going to say they're like fully formed, like this is as good as they're going to be, but they're closer to that than freaking Tyson Bajan is.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you there. So I think we spent a little good amount of time on the quarterbacks here. Again, this is going to be a bunch of backups. But yeah. A little bit. That's not a big deal though. That it gets you, you know, we're here at the Senior Bowl. We're at the Senior Bowl trying to get as much out of this as we can. And when you can get that much out of backup quarterbacks, I think we're doing our job there. Let's move on a little bit to the running backs. There were really some guys here that were trying to improve the draft stock and get people, guys like us, who were trying to evaluate a guy like Chase Brown. Both of us are unimpressed with him, but we'll save the Illinois slander for a little bit later. We'll talk about probably, I think, your guy. We'll talk about Evan Hall, because I'll be very honest. Watching him at Northwestern, I was like, okay, I can see some tools here. He looks a little undersized, but he didn't. He actually looks a little bit bigger. He put on a little bit of weight, I think, going into the Senior Bowl. And that's what, if you're going to put weight on going into these measurements, I want to see you not lose your burst, not lose your speed. And that was the most impressive thing to me, because he's already a nice mover behind the line of scrimmage. He's a little more patient and he waits for that hole and then he can hit it. He did not look like he lost a bit of his burst. Nope. And you saw it in the game. If you guys watched the Senior Bowl game, the very first play, boom, he's gone 24 yards down the field because he just took it. That hole was there. He waited for a second, and then boom. So go ahead and talk to me about your guy, Evan Hall. The floor is yours.
I kind of feel that this is going to be one of the guys that we're going to walk away from, for better or worse, because we'll see what happens throughout the process. But I feel like this is going to be one of the guys that I'm just consistently pounding the table, that Twitter's going to get tired of me talking about. But I believe in the guy, man. Like, he puts everything up on tape that you want to see out of a workhorse back at the next level. And I have no illusions. Like, I think Evan Hull is probably a round three, maybe a round four guy in the draft. I don't think that he's going to get up into round two. If he follows through on his prediction of running a 4.4 in the 40, then maybe. But I think, honestly, you're looking, his ceiling is probably round three, and that's perfectly fine. Yeah. Because, I mean, in today's NFL, round two is the new round one. Round three is the new round two for NFL running backs. So I have no problem. If he goes on day two, I'm ecstatic. Yeah. You know, so that's perfectly fine to me. I really like Evan Hull. And my problem with, like, I guess, like, a lot of what we're hearing down there from other industry folk that I have a problem with is everybody's like, well, he's like going to run a 4.6. And I was like, where did we come up with this damn number? Like, where are we coming up with this freaking number? Like, I don't understand that, because you're looking at a guy that on film, he pulls away from linebackers in space. You have multiple times where he's taking checkdowns and you see a second gear from him in the open field. You don't see second gears like that in the open field. And I'm not telling you he's a burner. Yeah. Not at all. But you don't see a second gear from guys that are like 4.6 and maybe above that, whatever. They're one speed types, you know, that, like, when they get the handoff, they get into the first level, second level, it's all the same thing. I don't see that out of Evan Hull. I see checkdowns where you see a second gear from him. I see him pull away from defenders. Is he a home run threat? No, that's not how he wins. The way that Evan Hull wins is he's compact. He has really damn good feet. Like, I think he's going to test well in the short area agility, like, pretty damn well, because you see it on film. You see a guy that is not only decisive as he gets through holes, he gets small through the crease. And we saw that in the Senior Bowl game, because you were like, okay, well, there's a slip. There he goes. Yep. Yes, let's go. Evan Hull. And he showed in the game what we saw on film. And for a guy that I think that runs a 4.5, I think his short area testing is going to be good. These are the things that were, okay, check and check. His college dominator was 85th percentile. His collegiate target share was the 97th percentile. As much as people want to talk about, okay, you're going to hear receiving and receiving ability for running backs from this class, and the first two names that people are going to sit here and bring up to you is Kenny McIntosh and Jahmyr Gibbs. The name that really deserves to be brought up second in that freaking conversation is Evan Hull. He led the FBS all running backs in freaking receiving yards. He was 7th in yards per route run. Put some freaking respect on his name. If this guy had gone to an SEC school and not Northwestern, running behind their god-awful dog shit offensive line for the last 2 years, he would be getting more praise and puff than he's getting. And I'm happy, happy to drive the party bus.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything you said. And I think people need to understand, put the receiving into perspective. He caught 55 balls this past year. Zach Evans caught 30 his entire collegiate career, okay? That's it. He caught 30 balls, okay? He's not someone who's going to come into the NFL and be like, okay, well, maybe he can't get on the field for pass snaps. So he's got good
hands. Yeah, he's not Chase Brown.
There it is. There's the shade. One number that I'm going to be more interested in than his 40 time is his 10-yard split, because that burst on speed on film is real. That's the number that's going to sell, because, if again, you're not a burner, you don't have to be a burner. If you can take that first 10, 15, 20 yards and be gone, that's all that matters in the NFL. You can do that. You're going to be able to make yourself money. And we saw that with Kareem Hunt. He ran a 4.6 40, but you want to know what? His burst was incredible. And that's what was able to create those downfield.
I got a guy for you, okay? So I messed around with comps about Evan Hull the whole time before we went to Mobile. And I was like, shit, I was like, I just can't put this guy in a bucket. I can't figure out a guy. I got home, and on the flight home, I was like, man, I keep going back to Mark Ingram with more lateral agility, but that feels clunky. Mm-hmm. The way that I feel about Evan Hull, the way that I think his game translates, because watching him weave through traffic with his footwork is a damn treat. Yeah. I mean, like, it's fun. And you marry that between that and his contact balance, and the guy that I come back to, and it's not a perfect one for one. There's a little bit of size difference there, but if you're looking at skill set, receiving, he reminds me of freaking Ramondre Stevenson. That's exactly who he reminds me of when I watch him. He's got undervalued burst. He's got undervalued speed. He is a dog in pass protection. Like, am I going to tell you that he's the best pass protector that I've seen in the last 2 to 3 classes? No. Is he going to be serviceable from the word go in the NFL? Yes. He's got the tenacity to do that. He's got the want to do that. He also showed well enough in one-on-ones where you saw him maybe losing some reps, but he sit here and recovered. And he kept the guy away from where the quarterback would have been. So that's what you want to see in pass protection. These are the things that if we were sitting here baking the short list of what does Ramondre Stevenson do in the NFL that makes him so freaking good, it's contact balance, it's lateral agility, it's pass game usage. And I see the same type of skill set for Evan Hull.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything you said. I think he's going to be an undervalued player in terms of, one, most people don't know his name. Coming into this, like a lot of people, especially in the fantasy community, didn't know who he was. And that's because Northwestern was 1-11 this year, I think. 1-11.
Yeah, I mean, they were straight up doo-doo butter,
man. Awful.
It was Evan Hull and Skoronski, and that's like all you needed to know. Like after that, you don't even have to watch Northwestern. You're good if you just say, okay, bye. Moving on.
They're awful, and it's tough when you're in a Big Ten school like that that's more of a bottom dweller. It's hard to get out there, so I appreciate what Evan Hull has done and getting out to the Senior Bowl and showcasing what you can do, because when you're in a bad school, that's what you need to be able to do, especially for a guy who's not going to get drafted out because of the caliber of school. So you have to be – sometimes you have to take it the extra route to become a senior and then go to the Senior Bowl. And that's why you see even some guys out of the Senior Bowl become so good in the NFL. One guy that everybody has talked about in the last week, 2 weeks, Tajay Spears out of Tulane. Again, probably nobody knew his name until – granted, Tulane was ranked this year. Their offense was fun to watch. He was – There's been a clip of him just running through, over, around, on top of guys for the last couple of months in one of their games. Like that clip, I think, has lived on Twitter forever already. Like it's just everywhere.
It's made the rounds. We'll
especially
say that.
After the Senior Bowl, it's like go type in Tajay Spears in your search bar and find this guy. But he was everything advertised coming in. He was elusive. He was quick. He was fast. And that's when we talk about the burst. He has the burst and then the gear after that and the gear after that. That's what how fast he was. And we talked about Hall, who looked bigger. Tajay put weight on coming in to the Senior Bowl. And you want to know what? He looked just as fast for a smaller guy when he's being able to do everything he can. He's 5'9", 204 pounds. That 204 pounds is huge. And he has 10-inch hands. He has 10-inch hands for a guy who's 5'9". So everything you're talking about for a pass catching perspective is good. And everyone was blown away by his running, his route running. We were all
that one clip where he jukes a guy into the shadow realm. Like that's going to live in perpetuity on social media forever. And it should. It was absolutely sick. Like we were all sitting there. I think we were sitting right next to each other at the time. Yes, and I was like,
I think the entire stadium did that. Like that was everybody. And I've seen people saying, well, why are you impressed by a whip route against a linebacker in one-on-one? Well, because he can do it. You're looking at the skill set.
Not everybody can freaking do that, man.
No, you're supposed to showcase what you have. And he was like, fine, I'm going to. And when you say sent him into the shadow, that linebacker was gone.
That linebacker goes, ooh.
Oh, man. It was one of the better moments of the Senior Bowl. But I think on day two, he was running pass protection drills. And this is where he got blown up by a linebacker.
Let me
find his name really quick because I know
he got blown up.
Aubrey Miller.
The guy pancaked him.
Yeah, it was. And what the best part about that whole thing was they ran it back two other times after that. So he and Aubrey Miller went toe to toe three straight times. And this was a really good teachable moment for a senior coming out as a running back. And everyone's again talking about his footwork and his speed and his pass catching. That was the one takeaway that I had from this whole thing that sold me on the player that he is. He is coachable. Took him 3 reps, okay? Mm-hmm. Got blown up. He was like, okay, he made a little bit of improvement the second time. He still lost that rep. Then the third one is where you saw Auburn Miller try to rip underneath him, and he rode him out of the pocket. And he took everything in stride, was coachable in the moment, and got better each time. That is how you not only improve these NFL head coaches, but you show that you can be a guy that can be leaned on in a room, in a locker room with the rest of the running backs. You can learn, and you won't make the same mistake twice.
I mean, that's exactly what you're talking about, Harms. That's what you want to see, man. And I think that Spears I'll say this, and I promise I won't bring his name up for the rest of the episode. If Tajay Spears hadn't had the week that he had, I think we'd be talking about Evan Hall as having the best week out of a running back at Senior Bowl. But I think Tajay Spears overshadowed him, and for good freaking reason, man. Like, Tajay Spears, coming into it, I looked at him as a runway back. I looked at him as a guy that – because what we had before we went to Mobile was, okay, well, he's going to be 190, 194. This automatically – bumps you into an outlier territory of that type of weight at the NFL level, bumps you into, if you are going to hit as a consistent producer in the NFL, even if we're going to talk about maybe you have a one-off awesome ass season and we never hear from you again, still, those things are hard to come by when you're below 200 pounds as an NFL running back. And people could talk about, okay, well, this is an arbitrary line. Okay, sure. That's great and grand. And you consider and deal in that type of fictitiousness, except when you talk about, and you look at NFL teams, and if you're below 200 pounds, below 210, they don't give you the work.
Yeah.
So you could sit here and talk about that's a fictitious line all you freaking want to, but when you go actually to the numbers and you look at what teams have done and the workloads that running backs have gotten that have been below 200 pounds, it stands up.
Yep.
So we're not just all sitting here blowing smoke out of our ass and sitting here talking about a number that doesn't matter. It does matter. So the fact that Tajay Spears weighed in over 200 pounds was awesome. It was so awesome. It was great in the sense that you don't ever see that happen, Harms. Like, how many guys over the last few years, and we're saying, oh, come on, baby, just look, you eat 7 pounds of Taco Bell the night before, you hold it in, you don't take the pre-weight dump, you sit here and you hold it in, baby, you weigh over 200 pounds, please just do it for me one time. That never happens, man. We're all like, oh, they weighed at 196. Oh, they weighed at 197. And we're all disappointed. Man, the fact that Tajay Spears got over 200 pounds is awesome because it also unlocks a whole different level of comps and projectability at the NFL level for him. Like, I walked into the process saying, okay, he's Kenyon Barner. Okay. Now I'm walking out of the process saying, he's Michael Carter with a damn jetpack. That's who I think Tajay Spears is, being over 200 pounds, having the lateral agility, the explosiveness that he does. He put it up on film, on numbers. Last year, he was 5th in yards after contact per attempt. He was top 15 in breakaway run rate and PFF elusive rating. And we talk about his pass game utility. Does he have the counting stats at Tulane to sit here and say, yes, he's a good pass catcher? Mm-hmm. No, but he was 21st in PFF receiving grade last year. What he did over his collegiate career, even if you were just put this in a box outside of size, anything else, and just say on paper, the fact that he had 4.54 yards after contact per attempt in his career was awesome. Like, you don't ever see guys usually hit that number maybe in one season, much less for their freaking career. That's great for Tajay Spears. I think that he's either going to walk his way into the back end of day two, make it into round 3, or he's going to be a round 4 running back. I don't see him getting up to round 2. I think that a team is going to have to fall in love with him, much like the Bills did with James Cook, for him to get into round 2. But did he make a lot of money in Mobile? Hell yes. Did he change the narrative about how people and teams need to look at him at the next level? Hell yes. And outside of just the weight stuff, Harms, I think that what we saw also, and I'm curious if you saw the same thing from tape to Mobile, but Spears looked built. Like, his lower half, especially when we're talking about his legs looked built. And on film, I was like, and I wrote it up in my, it was in my Senior Bowl primer. I said, he is where's slender build in his lower half is not great. When I saw him at Mobile, I was like, shit, this dude has calves that are about as big as my thighs. I was like, he's put in the work. Like, he looks like he can do those things, like holding up into pass pro. You need that lower half strength. And when I saw him, and this is another thing, and I don't want to sound like a hand in the dirt kind of boomer, but being there and seeing these guys on the field, how they're built, how they move, it matters. It is one of those things where you can't replace that being at the Senior Bowl versus not being at the Senior Bowl. So those types of takeaways matter a ton in the process. So I was glad we saw Spears put all of this stuff on film, on display, and really make himself a shit ton of money in Mobile.
Yeah, the weight wasn't just extra weight. Like, he didn't just put on a ton, like eat a bunch before the before the Senior Bowl. This was work weight. He was lifting, he was doing everything to get ready for it.
He's put on work weight.
Yeah, man. That's what it is.
I like that.
Because again, like you said, on tape at Tulane, he looked a little small. He didn't look small. He looked compact at the Senior Bowl. And that's just as much, again, selling to these coaches that you are ready to put in the work. And he put in the work. I think he's going to continue to put in the work. I do think he's going to be a third-round pick. The combine, he could absolutely blow up. But I do think at the end of the day, he's going to be a third-round pick. That's really my
take. To get into the second round. I'll put it that way. It's going to be tough. I think he runs a low 4.4, but that's what I think would be the differentiator. If he runs a 4.3, maybe he pops up a little bit higher. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. That would be the selling point. If he runs a 4.3, he might sneak in to the back part of the second round.
Well, and this also needs to get brought up too. So my colleague over at Fantasy Pros, Thor Nystrom, was interviewing Tajay at the media breakfast, and Tajay talked about his weight. He said, look, I played in the bowl games at 197, and so for this, I bulked up and I got up to 204. I mean, that's exactly what you want to see also, because that's the weight that people are going to go by. But the other thing about that, Harms, is he could cut weight back down into the 190s to run his 40 and run a little bit faster than even we saw in Mobile. So, I mean, more power to you, dude. Keep cutting, keep gaining weight, keep doing what the hell you need to do and improve your draft stock. Like, he's doing exactly what we want to see. Or we preach, like, to these prospects, like for every guy that's like Treylon Burks and he's like, I didn't really train for the 40. You're like, well, you're dumb. As opposed to Tajay Spears, who's like, I've raised my weight. I could probably lower it back for these events and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, right.
You're smart, young man.
Yeah, he's ready to not only work, but he's got, I think, the smarts to be able to make this work for him in the long run. We'll probably end with tight ends because there's only like two guys to talk about, and we'll just kind of just glance off that. Wide receiver, there were a lot of guys trying to not just improve their draft stock, but show that they can do a little bit differently than what they did in college. I was looking forward to seeing Andre
Yosivash. I screw up his name all the time.
Yeah, that's my apologies, Andre. But I wanted to see him a little bit more. There's Elijah Higgins I was interested to see. But there are really two clear-cut winners in my mind. You go ahead and you tell me who you think those two clear-cut winners are, and we'll see if we're on the same page.
So I think one of them that's not going to get talked about because we didn't see him much, but I think that the reason we didn't see him much is because he is a clear-cut winner. I think Puka Nacua is a clear-cut winner, and I think that him leaving after day one tells you all you need to know about his draft stock. We saw this out of Alec Pierce the year before, who I ran by Alec Pierce at the airport, was supposedly leaving with an injury. He wasn't limping. He had no boot on. He looked perfectly fine to me when he was boarding the airplane. All that comes down to say is the agent said, look, you've done enough, dude. Like, coaches, your draft stock, you're good. I think Puka Nacua is a guy that he showed exactly what I needed to see out of him. As far as the gear down, the ability to get early and late separation on curls and comebacks in Senior Bowl. Again, we only saw him one day, but I think Puka Nacua could easily go in the second round of the NFL draft if he tests decently, because the stats are there. Like, it's not crazy to say that the only reason freaking Jaren Hall's ass was at Senior Bowl was because of Puka Nacua. So I love Puka. I think that he was a quiet winner because you didn't see a ton of him, because I don't think we had to see a ton of him. And his agent basically said, peace out. Like, you need to get out of there before you hurt yourself. And so I think he was a quiet winner. But I think if you're talking about the two loudest guys down there as far as, like, draft stock, what they did for themselves, I think the two clear guys were Tank Dell, who separated at every damn level of the field. He had a fantastic week. And yes, are there size concerns? Yes, is he in the 160s? Sure. Are the comps really slim if you're talking about guys who have excelled at that weight? Yeah, sure. The other thing about it is we've also seen a history over the last 3 to 4 seasons in the draft of smaller speed guys, Rondell Moore, Andy Isabella, Tutu Atwell, all go in the second round.
Yep.
If Tank Dell runs in the 4.3s, he's probably going to go in the second round. I put his floor as being round 3. So I think what Tank Dell did in the Senior Bowl, it was fantastic. Like, I think that he made himself a lot of money. Now, we could debate his NFL prospects for days and days and what his role and what his upside looks like. Like, basically, if he doesn't turn out to be DeSean Jackson or Marquise Brown, he's probably just going to be a bit player and a wide receiver 3, maybe wide receiver 4 at the NFL level. But was he a winner walking out of the week? Absolutely. The other guy that I want to mention here, and I'm going to team him with a guy that I think is a loser, and I'm going to compare their two different weeks for me. I think that if you were a Rashee Rice stan, you were hoping and praying that Rashee Rice came out to the Senior Bowl and had the type of week that Michael Wilson had.
Yeah.
That's what you were hoping. You were hoping that he garnered puffin praise every single day that he was there. He flashes and he walks away from the Senior Bowl game as being the best wide receiver on the field. That didn't happen for Rashee Rice, who entered with a ton of hype, top 50 talk, maybe first round buzz. I thought Rashee had an okay week, but really he was a guy that I think that just, you know, really blended into the background. I don't think that he stepped forward and cemented himself and said, look, I'm the dude down here. That didn't happen. But Michael Wilson looked really good. As far as a guy that we don't have a lot of film on, he's dealt with injuries all the way throughout Stanford. He's one of the few guys in this receiver class that can move in the short area as well as get open deep. Like, he had a go route, I think it was on day 2 or day 3, and a deep post where subtleties in his route, he got separation, his cuts were good, and he's explosive off the line. He's a guy that I saw more nuance out of, and for his size, that's one of the things, like, at least I'm in the early parts of this draft class. You don't see a lot of big guys that move extremely well in this class to the point where I've gotten through it. And I'm not talking about Quentin Johnson and stuff like that. But, like, once you get outside the first round, maybe 2, there's not a lot of guys where they're 6'2", 6'3", and they move well. And so I think Michael Wilson honestly had the type of week that anybody that was hoping or praising Rashee Rice walking into that week, you were hoping he had Wilson's week.
I don't disagree with. I love what you said about that, because when you look at the two, Rashee Rice came in at just over 6 foot, at 200 pounds even. Michael Wilson came in at 6'1" and a half, nearly at 216, and he moved, in my opinion, twice as good than Rashee Rice did. If you go watch Rashee Rice tape, which is what I've been doing this week, you can see all of the extra steps he adds in his breakdowns. He doesn't have the natural hip sync and explosion out of his breaks. Wilson showed all of that coming and getting multiple injuries. He's been so unlucky with injury luck in his career, but he looked so much more comfortable in every single facet of playing wide receiver than Rashee Rice did. Now, I think Rice didn't have, like you said, he was kind of mediocre. He had some ups, he had some downs. I liked what they did using him as an end-around wide receiver. He showed a little bit there. I liked that build for him. I think that that's something that he can do in the NFL.
Would you categorize Rashee Rice as having, like, I look at him as a guy that has build-up speed. I don't look at him as a guy that has explosion off the line at all.
No, he's kind of slow off the line, and that's not what you want from a guy. And I was, like, just watching his tape this morning. A lot of times he's not even coming off the line very fast. It's very slow, and it's not even methodical. It's lazy, in my opinion, and that's, you're not going to be able to beat NFL corner is doing that kind of stuff. You're going to get bodied up and you're not going to be able to move. He also doesn't separate against man coverage very well. He doesn't have that ability to explode in and out of his breaks. He can't explode off the line. He's very much, I need to get moving. So motion helps him out a lot, get to that speed. And that's why I liked him as more as a wide or end around kind of guy. But yeah, Michael Wilson had a really, really good week. Again, I didn't see his tape going into that.
Same.
So I didn't have much prior knowledge. So that's a huge win for him, putting himself on that early day three mindset for a lot of these GMs. And I agree with you on Tank Dell. Everyone knows Tank Dell is a dude. You watch him there. He was probably clearing away the best receiver there. That's why he left after the second day. He was
could get their freaking hands on him, man.
No,
at all. Impossible. It's like he's 160, but like to get. For 160 to be a problem, you either have to play him outside, and if you play him outside, somebody's got to get their damn hands on him. Like, if you can't get your hands on him, it doesn't matter if he's 160 or if he's 180. If he separates and he's got the footwork and the explosion to get off the line with speed releases, and you're not able to press him at the line, good freaking luck. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, it's impossible. And unfortunately, I was unable to see the first day because my daughter was not having the best time in the sun. It was super hot.
Okay, so let's throw that out there. I still have a sunburn line from day one, so I share Avery's disdain for the day one weather in Mobile. It was horrible. My clearness could not handle it, okay?
It was a tough day, so we had to leave like with an hour left in the first practice.
We were all struggling, Harms.
And I didn't get to see the second practice. So I didn't get to see Puka Nuka. I also haven't watched his tape. So I'll trust you on that part. My big winner with preconceived notions was Jaden Reed.
I knew you were going to bring up his name. I love
him. Man, Jaden Reed, I came in like, okay, he's a deep threat, kind of in the same vein as Darius Davis out of TCU. I was like, okay, these guys are relatively the same from what I know about them now. What Jaden Reed did at the Senior Bowl, he moved, in my opinion, much like Michael Wilson, probably a bit more explosive in and out of his breaks because he's smaller. And he's a little bit smaller. He's probably a bit faster. But he was very, very – the word I want to use is – elusive at the top of his routes, and that's where you want to see, because he understood how to manipulate corners with direction, with intention, getting into his breaks, coming, you know, intending to go make his route stem to the right and then go to the left to move the corners the way he wanted to move them, to create movement and to create separation and space for him to the left and vice versa. That was the footwork that he showed, was not something I expected to see from him that week. So when I came away from this week really buying into Jaden Reed, who was probably more of a mid day three guy coming out of Michigan State, I think he could, depending on how he performs at the combine, he could end up being a fourth round pick. I think that much of him, his ability. So he also showed a little bit of ball winning showcasing. So I don't know. Maybe I'm a little high on him from that senior.
I don't disagree with you. So Jaden Reed, when I wrote him up for the Senior Bowl primer, I comped him to a Marcus Wheaton, who, again, like we were talking about range of outcomes with all these guys. I liked his versatility coming out of Michigan State. Like, he's going to automatically make an NFL roster based off of his special teams versatility. Like, he returned 38 punts in college. He also has kickoff return ability. So that was already going to sew him into. He was going to probably go like round five walking into this process. I don't disagree with you. I think if he tests well, I think we're looking at a round four wide receiver now. And just from an analytics standpoint, he checked a lot of boxes, like 72nd percentile college dominator, 90th percentile breakout age, the things you want to look at and say, okay, who could surprise out of this class? And I'm with you. Like, I thought that he was going to be like a Z receiver, field stretcher. I didn't see. And the thing that we saw in Mobile, Harms, and that I really liked out of him was you saw more nuance to his routes. I did not see a refined route runner in the film. Like, in my notes, I literally wrote, he drifts on his routes at times, can lead to miscommunications with his quarterbacks. Overall, he's solid. He sets up defenders well, especially on deep posts. But past that, you saw more nuance to his routes in Mobile. He was cooking dudes on short area routes as well as getting deep. So I think that that type of, like, the film honestly undersold Jaden Reed, and some of this could have been what he was asked to do at Michigan State. That I think that he is a more nuanced player. He's got more skills in his bag than we saw him put up on film at Michigan State. So I agree with you. I think he was a winner.
Absolutely. And that's something that it's hard to know coming out of college. Like, there's a guy coming out of TCU. I don't know if you guys have heard of him. Quentin Johnston, who has a very limited route tree. He runs like three routes and that's it. And he runs them over and over and over again. But that's what TCU asked him to do. I have it on good authority that he can run far more. So we'll see where that ends up, because we're not going to see him showcase anything. We'll see. Maybe he has his pro day and he showcases a little bit there. But we want to fight a little bit, because this is what this comes down to. And this is not just my Michigan bias talking.
I think it is.
I think Ronnie Bell, when you look at his Senior Bowl tape, in my opinion, there was one area he really struggled. Catching the football. He dropped like everything at the Senior Bowl, but he was open. He was open multiple times. He did catch a couple touchdowns in the back of the end zone. I think that Ronnie Bell is going to be a mid-day three player. Comes out of the Senior Bowl. He's got like the second largest wingspan of the receivers. 5'11", 192. Nothing crazy from him. But I think he understands leverage enough to get open. He did it against these guys. But I know that you don't like him at all. So just tell the people why you don't like Ronnie Bell and why you think, unlike me, that he's not going to be a good player.
So I think Ronnie Bell had a okay week. I'll say that. And I think that the drops and all the whether you want to talk about it being concentration drops or what have you, because the other part about this, Harms, is that with the quarterback play being so putrid down there,
very true,
it makes it harder to watch these wide receivers and get a better sense out of them, because the other equation that, like, the wide receivers have no part of is ball placement. If the ball placement sucks, you're having guys having to try to make more difficult catches than they should be at times. So whether that was honestly playing a part for Ronnie Bell in some aspects, like giving him a small bit of a pass, although I will say you saw too many balls clank off his hands to sit here and fully give him a pass. If it hits your damn hands, come down with the ball, man. Come
please.
On. But I looked at Ronnie Bell as being a guy that is probably going to settle in and be like a solid wide receiver three or wide receiver four for a team. I don't see him separating consistently enough. And this kind of comes back. I think he did a better job of that in Mobile, but I don't think that it happened enough to where, like, somebody like Jaden Reed, where I can just pump him up like another peg because of what he did in Mobile. Because I think a lot of the other things that I saw out of Ronnie Bell on film at Michigan was that, he's not extremely fast in and out of his breaks. He has some versatility where you saw them use him on jet sweeps and screens where he has a decent burst, but I don't look at him as being a, like, if you're looking at how do wide receivers win, are they good early separators, are they good late separators, how are they creating separation, I don't see a true consistent enough calling card in either one of those aspects for Ronnie Bell to say that I think that he is going to, like, earn separation consistently from a rep to rep basis in the NFL. Like, I look at him as a guy who is probably going to be like a chain mover, wide receiver 3-4 type, who probably needs to, I mean, he has a 59% or 56% career slot rate at Michigan. I think that he has to be a slot receiver at the next level. I don't think that he is going to be able to carve himself out as anything more than being a wide receiver 4 in a depth chart in the NFL unless he stays in the slot. And even that, at that point, like, I just look at him as being the unsexier kind of David Bell of this class. Like, I'm not going to be wowed by Ronnie Bell, and I can't put his NFL ceiling as being that high either.
Okay, I can understand that. I think that he's probably a low end, you know, probably closer to a wide receiver 3 in the NFL. That's kind of how it pegs. Mm-hmm. We'll see how his combine goes. I'm very interested to see. Again, I don't care so much about the 40 speed, because that's not always.
I think his short area is kind of I think he'll probably hit it down the fairway. I don't think that he's going to blow that away. But what do you
probably think? Probably not. It's not like he's not a quick twitch guy. But I think he's a more savvy player in creating yak. He's not going to be a blow it away kind of guy. But I think that where he's going to make his money is in zone. Not just as a chain mover. I think that he can make a guy miss after he catches. When you watch Travis Kelce, I'm not trying to make a comparison to what these two guys do. I'm trying to use, because everyone can see Travis Kelce in their mind, okay? You can see how he moves and he understands. So just try to understand what I'm saying. When Travis Kelce catches the football, he knows exactly where to move after, right? Okay, so he sees the field in his head after he moves. And you guys can all see him catching a football and then like turning away from where the defender's coming. I'm just trying to paint you that picture. And stay with me, because I'm not trying to say that Ronnie Bell is Travis Kelce.
I'm sorry, when you said it at first, my eyes got big too, okay?
I know. And y'all try to just stay with me. But I see Ronnie Bell do some of the lesser parts of that, where he is able to see the field after he catches a little bit better than a lot of the other receivers in this class. He's not going to be a mover like even half of the guys that were at the Senior Bowl. That's just not his calling card. I think catching against slot, a little bit of Z, he's not going to be asked to play against man coverage. It's just not really his thing. He did perform better against man at the Senior Bowl than I expected him to. So that was nice to see on my part. I think that if he catches some of those balls, people think a little bit differently about him, but he did so many. It looked like he had stone hands. Like, he just couldn't catch anything. And I'm hoping that that's not going to be what ends up happening. But I liked the showcase that he did for the getting open part, because I think that's going to be his biggest struggle in the NFL. And a lot of people are going to point to, Michigan wide receivers and Donovan Peoples-Jones. I think Donovan Peoples-Jones is actually a very good number two receiver in the NFL.
I don't think he's as talented as DPJ.
He's not. He's definitely not. But I do think that as a chain mover, as a guy who can consistently,
I think you're looking at somebody who's like the dollar store version of Nico Collins.
See, I think that Nico Collins is a outside only player, but he's probably closer to a big slot now. He and DPJ have a lot of the similar play styles. Downfield guy who is not going to wow you in separation.
I mean, I'll say this, and if anybody needs to Google this, I understand it, because it's not a glittering comp. But when I go to comp players, I look at range of outcomes. I look at skill sets. I look at speed, how I think they might test, how they're going to fit into the NFL level. So if you got to Google this name, I get it. That's fine. but the guy that I compared him to, who did not have an illustrious NFL career, but was serviceable and I think a good depth chart or a good depth wide receiver, was Brandon Tate. So that's who I saw with Ronnie Bell.
I get it. I think he's probably going to make his money in special teams at the next level.
Yep.
He can punt return. He can be a gunner. He can play on all your special teams. And that's, you need those guys. You absolutely need them. But I think he can find a way in a year or two to get not just playing time, but be a nice functional part of an offense. But that's where we disagree. And that's fine. That's what this is for. I don't want to waste time.
I mean, I'm just letting you have your Michigan bias. I'm not going to sit here and slam you too hard on it, Ron Harms. But,
I pride myself on evaluation based not on bias, but of actual things. But so we'll see how it ends up working out. One guy, we're not going to spend time on the tight ends very much, because
they're not good.
Luke Musgrave is probably going to be a first-round pick, because he fits the bill from what you're looking for.
God, speed, I hope he's not.
Size and athletic perspective. We'll see. I liked his movement a lot.
Yeah.
He dropped nearly half of his balls, I think.
Everything. He dropped damn near everything.
Oh man, it was kind of hard to watch. And I don't know about the moment, but he and Ronnie Bell were just over there like they were putting their hands in those like wet cement places on the ground, waiting for it to happen, like Michael Scott did in The Office.
They should have freaking given him stick-em, okay?
It was awful. Damn. So I think he's going to end up being a first-round pick. But the guy that surprised me, and was really on day three, because he was making catches, he was making touchdowns, stuff like that. Payne Durham out of Purdue had a really nice third day, a couple of really nice moments of catching touchdowns, looking a little bit impressive in his movement ability. He's 6'5". 260 pounds. He has the largest wingspan of all these tight ends, second arm length only to Luke Musgrave, funny enough. This is somebody who, coming in, probably a lot of people didn't know. Didn't understand Purdue's offense was really focused around him. And what's the other, the guy who was supposed to be at the Senior Bowl that didn't show up?
Oh, Dalton Kincaid.
No, not sorry, the other Purdue receiver. Charlie Jones. And their quarterback.
Whatever happened to him? Did he get hurt or he just
I have no show? Idea.
Like, I we got to day three and I was like,
where's Charlie Jones?
Has anybody seen Charlie Jones? Charlie Jones? Charlie,
oh man.
Has he just been that bad we didn't notice him? Where's Charlie Jones? Like yeah, it was like, weird. Oh, Charlie Jones is not here.
All three of those guys should have been in the Senior Bowl. The quarterback. Yep. The wide receiver and the tight end all should have been there because they needed it. So
somebody should have corralled Stetson Bennett off of the streets of Dallas and got him to the Senior Bowl too. But you know, well, it'll be.
I mean, he's pretty comfortable that he's going to be a draft pick. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been out partying and getting himself arrested. So we'll see how that works out. But yeah, Payne Durham, let's spend a little bit of time here. Talk to me about the big man out of Purdue.
So I like Payne Durham, and I know exactly what you're talking about, man. The day three, the red zone drills, you saw his ability. And I don't think Payne Durham is a overly athletic or physically gifted tight end. Sure. I think that where he's going to make his hay in the NFL is as a 12 personnel guy, as a guy that they can line up in line and use in the red zone. You know, so that's the way I look at Payne Durham. But yeah, he I think his calling card, and again, why I think that – And I know I'm kind of poo-pooing this tight end grouping at Senior Bowl, but here's why. Let me give a little bit better context with this. I looked at this tight end grouping and then watching all these guys for my purposes when I look at fantasy, when we look at also like difference makers in the passing games at the NFL level, I don't see that like out of all these guys. Mm-hmm. Even like Musgrave, maybe. But he's got a ton of stuff, and we'll talk about it, like to clean up. But I'll look at these guys like this entire group is they're probably going to have productive careers. They probably are going to have like longer careers as depth chart or 12 personnel, tight end two, tight end three types. And I think that's what you're going to see out of Payne Durham. He's a good blocker. He showed that in one-on-ones. You can use him in space. You can use him in line. I felt like he has solid technique on his blocking and the size and the things we saw out of him as far as being able to use it well, it was his size in the red zone.
Yeah.
So that was good to see and something you wanted to see just out of him showing what he can do in the receiving game. So I think that he made himself some money, probably helped himself a little bit in the draft. I don't think he's going to go high, but as a round five guy versus like a round six, round seven guy, yes, I could see that. And with Musgrave, dear Lord, I hope a team does not do something dumb and draft him in the first round.
They're like, going to.
That would be incredibly stupid. I do not understand what a team is looking at outside of like, okay, he's athletic. Like, because Luke Musgrave, yeah, like you could point to the athleticism and stuff, but like none of the athleticism kind of like outside of, yes, he moves well, but like his hands are suspect. His route running is not fantastic. His contested catch rate on targets in college was 38.9%. He's not a guy where the physical attributes are translating to the field consistently. And with guys like that play below their physical attributes, you're saying, okay, is it technique? Is it you're just a gym rat guy and that stuff does not cross over?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I kind of sit more of like, maybe it's some technique, but I think that other parts about it is like, maybe he's a guy that tests well and does not cross this over into actual football ability because he's not a good blocker. He's maybe average if you want to be kind in that respect, but he gets pushed off of his routes, at least on film in Oregon State. I saw he got pushed off of his routes by physical linebackers. He can block some, but it's not fantastic. He's never going to be a guy we're going to use him as a lead blocker in the NFL. I think he's going to be suspect in run game. So you're looking at a guy that if he does hit, you're not looking at a guy that he probably comes out and posts like really good numbers in year one or really good numbers in year two. If he puts it together at the NFL level, he's going to fit the mold of tight ends take longer to produce in the NFL and really kind of find their footing. He's going to be a guy that fits that narrative. But is he a guy that by anything I've seen outside of testing that deserves to go in the top two rounds of the NFL draft? Hell no.
I would love to see him go in the third round to Kansas City, because then you can do exactly what you want to do. You can get him behind
stash him on a depth
tight end in football and let him learn to use his body. Like, that's the thing. He's big. He's long. He has everything you're looking for. But you don't know how to use any of it. He's so raw in everything. And again, the movement skills are nice. The yak ability is fun. If you want to have him to be like a tight end two, tight end three, and just like check him down a couple of screens a game, that's fine. Is that a first round pick? No. Hell no, it's not a first round pick.
He looks like a baby learning how to walk, and instead of walk, they learned how to run before they learned how to walk. That's what he looks like. He's like, I have all these things I can do, but shit, I don't know how to use it.
I'll give you this
will perfectly encapsulate it, Harms. And this is a guy that got unwarranted draft capital and ended up flaming out in the NFL. The guy that I comped Luke Musgrave to was Gavin Escobar.
Woo! That's not a bad comp either. Gavin had a couple of good
seasons.
Super
freaking athletic. Never used any of it in the NFL.
Oh, man. Those Dallas Cowboy days, man. I remember some nice catches he had in the end zone. But at the end of the day, when
never
you're
panned out, though. He couldn't put it together, though, man. Like,
yeah, I know.
He was another guy that you're looking at like, okay, the short area agility was there. He looked athletic, and then he didn't do anything. Like, I think Musgrave has more straight line speed than Escobar ever showed. But yeah, I think that if you're looking at a guy that could never translate some of the athletic gifts that he had to the NFL level, I think that that is where I kind of sit with it, where it stands up.
No, I agree with that. It makes a lot of sense. And I always hope that these guys pan out. And again, as a senior, that's kind of the problem here. You have all these athletic traits and you haven't been able to put it together yet. I'm hopeful. I'm not going to just sit here and say that I think he's going to pan out. If he's a late second round pick, I think that would be probably way better, more ideal for him. Get him into a spot behind someone, behind a productive tight end. Let him learn and grow. Just let him be a little bit more refined. That's all I really, really, really want to see from him. If he could just fine tweak some of these route running issues and the hand technique, I think he's going to be a really good tight end in the NFL. But you got to get there first.
I'll give you one more name to throw out, and in just as far as the way that I view Musgrave. Do you remember, if we're going to go back in time and be kind, Zach Miller?
Yes.
Yeah. super athletic, yeah. Athletic as hell. Really, if he could have ever put it together, he would have been. He would have been awesome in the NFL, but you just never saw him put the entire skill set together. And yeah, we could talk about injuries and stuff like that, but
yeah,
I think it also having the ability to kind of put it all together at the next level. And it's kind of like you're talking about with Musgrave, you're a freaking senior, dude. Like, yeah. It's not like you switch positions in the middle of your career. And that's kind of like one of those things where it's like, you see players go through their collegiate careers and they lean on their physical attributes too much, and they don't learn enough nuance to really excel at the NFL level. And it's kind of like, is Musgrave going to be one of those guys? Because like, shit, like Cameron Latu has more technical prowess than Musgrave could ever hope for right now, but he doesn't have the physical gifts right now. He doesn't have the physical gifts, and he won't have the physical gifts, but it's like, you're comparing the two guys. You're like, could you just room with Latu and like kind of steal some things from him from a technical standpoint and get better? And then maybe I can love you more as a prospect, please?
Just a little bit. It'd be nice to get some of these guys, some technicality.
Not a ton. Just a little bit.
But this was a lot of fun. I appreciate you coming on, guys. This was our little Senior Bowl review. We had a great time down there. Again, it was one experience I will forever treasure, and it was great to get to hang out with the guys at Fantasy Pros and Derek, my good friend. Let everyone know where they can find you and what you're working on next.
Yeah, man. Check me out on Twitter at @dbro_ffb. All my work is over at Fantasy Pros. I'm hopping between Dynasty Podcast, the Redraft Podcast, our flagship show. And right now it's all prospects. All of our Senior Bowl work is up on the site. We have rankings, we have tiers, we have articles galore. So head to fantasypros.com, look for all that amazing content. Our best ball kit just launched.
There we go.
If you were getting into the best ball streets, you're doing underdog drafts, you're out there and saying, in these wee months of the NFL season for 2023, how do I make money? Go to the best ball kit. It's fantastic. We're going to keep updating that throughout the process. My colleague Andrew Erickson has done a monstrous amount of work on this. Amazing stuff. So go check that out. And yeah, for me, it's all prospects right now, Harm. So I'm getting back into, I did all the homework on the Senior Bowl guys. Now I'm heading up to the top of this class as far as like wide receivers. I'm going to be doing a lot of the heavy lifting on our Dynasty kit, which is going to launch later part of February, we're looking at. So player profiles, how you're going to approach your rookie drafts, tiers for all of these positions, my primers for quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end will be in that kit, as well as really, all things, everything. Even if you're getting into just now Dynasty, I really think, and I said this last year and I'll say it again this year, and this is not me blowing smoke. If you want to contest what I'm about to tell you, then head over there and look at the kit. And if I am full of shit, at me on Twitter and let's have a convo about it. But I legit will put our Dynasty kit up against the best in the damn industry. It is for seasoned players. It is for people that are just now getting into Dynasty as well as seasoned veterans. Anybody can take something away from this Dynasty kit as well as our best ball kits. That's what we pride on. It's not just a mountain of content, but it is sharp content over at Fantasy Pros. So if I am telling you something and you think I'm lying out of my ass, at me on Twitter, come talk to me. But I promise you, if you head to the site, if you look at our kits, you're going to be happy with the content that you find.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been doing this for about 2 years now, and I have been using everything that Derek and people over at Fantasy Pros have been doing. I go in there regularly, all the time. Make sure you're following him on Twitter and the Fantasy Pros account. Just when you're here with the Fantasy Football Astronauts, get in the memberships right now. You go to fantasyfootballastronauts.com. You can get in there. My Zach Evans film review just dropped today, Friday. It is film review. That's what we do over there. Myself and Jetpack are doing these every single week. There's already at least 10 in-depth film reviews up on the membership site. Make sure you're checking that out. And for everybody, this is the Fantasy Football Astronauts podcast, and we are blasting off again. See you guys next time.
You're listening to the Fantasy Football Astronauts.